We pray now for Rachel as she shares with us. May she sense a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon her, that she may stir in us a passion for reaching the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Rob, Mrs. Alpha. I prefer Alpha Queen, actually, but just joking. So it's lovely to be with you, and I hope you feel really welcome here. What a lot of interesting, exciting things going on in our city. What a place and a time to be alive. It's just cool, isn't it? And it ties in quite nicely, actually, with the new series that we have happening here at Woody's. A new month, a new series. Last week it was all about losing, but winning. This month it's all about winning, and I have got the joy of talking about soul winning. And there's going to be a little slide coming on that I did earlier. And really, what we want, not very good, is it? Sorry about that. Can't see it. What we want to do is really in October push in to our vision and our values that we hold dear to us as a church, as Woody's. And so the first one that I'm talking about is talking about soul winning. And what that means is, it's a funny little phrase, what that means is we are a church that are passionate, so passionate about Jesus. Is that good? Yes, it was really good, isn't it? But not only are we passionate about Jesus, not only do we love worshipping him, and we did love worshipping him tonight, but we are also passionate about introducing other people to Jesus. We're passionate about being people who not only show Jesus in how we live our lives, but we're passionate about speaking about him, about talking to others about our faith. And you know, there are challenges about that, and we find it difficult. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on. But this is a church that wants to be good at that. And this is a church that wants to have that as a really high priority for us. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, we love the Bible here. We believe the Bible is powerfully relevant to our lives. And that there are things in it that are hard, but actually we want to learn how to apply it. And so we're going to read some verses today from Luke 10. And they're actually brilliant verses, words that Jesus himself actually spoke. So it's going to come up on the screen and I'm going to read it to us. Luke 10, this is. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Now, you may know this about me, if you know me, that I'm a Devon girl. Dave Mitchell doesn't like that because he thinks Cornwall is better, but we all know that Devon is better. Anyway, I'm a Devon girl, grew up in Devon, and I grew up in a really, really small village, and a lot of the people in my village were farmers, related to farmers, sons of farmers, daughters of farmers, knew a farmer. Farming was a big deal in my little village, and so at harvest time, everybody knew about it. And it was a time in our village where everybody pulled together, worked together and worked really hard to offer any help to get the harvest in. And you'd find that the farmers would keep a really close eye on the harvest and a really close eye on the weather. Because if the harvest was really, you know, prime time to reap it and it was going to rain, they had to really work super hard to get it in. And so the weather and the harvest was two things that they would really sort of concern them. And then when it came, when the moment was right, all hands on deck to get that harvest in. And I've got lots of memories of fun summers of playing in fields with making obstacles out of hay bales and, you know, fun and games as a young person. It's great. Health and safety would not allow it these days, but it was a long time ago. When Jesus in this passage says, "The harvest is ready, but the workers are few," he's using the analogy that the farmer and the harvest to illustrate the point that actually there is a harvest out there and it needs to be got in. It needs to be got in. And he's talking to a mass of people, 72, some versions say 70, but 70 or 72 people, and he wants to send them out and he's giving them the team talk to say, "Look, the harvest is ready. It's ripe. We've got to get on and get it in. And it's your role, your opportunity to go out there, to go ahead of me and to bring it in, and to work your hardest, to work," he doesn't say work your butt off, but if he was around now, he would say that, to really get stuck in and to bring in that harvest. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about what does it mean for us to have that same aspiration, that same intention, that same invitation that's coming to us to work hard to get the harvest in. Because here at Woody's, we really feel strongly that we are called to do that. Not on our own, not as the only church in Bristol, but for us, that is part of our calling. We exist to reach out to those that don't know Jesus. And we take Jesus' word seriously, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The first thing I want to highlight is this. Really, we want Woody's people to have the same perspective as Jesus. We want to have the same perspective of Jesus, and that is that it's harvest time. That it's harvest time. Jesus has a perspective on the world that sometimes is very different to ours. Have you noticed that? When you read the Bible, it's like you think, Jesus, is that really right? Is that really true? We are often disappointed, sidetracked. We struggle to share our faith. We struggle to see where the fruit of what our sharing of faith looks like. We can get easily disappointed by not seeing the fruit that we want. And one of the challenges of this verse is to align ourselves with what Jesus is saying and not to align ourselves with maybe our own disappointments. And it's this perspective that Jesus has that looks around our city, that looks around the universities, that looks around our workplaces, our streets, our communities, our families, our schools, and says, people are hungry to know about me. People are searching for spiritual meaning. People are looking for the one who created and made them. And sometimes it's hard to feel that, isn't it? Because Jesus talks about harvest, but we see famine. Jesus talks about spiritually hungry people, and we see people that maybe don't look very spiritually hungry. They actually look all right. They're kind of getting on with their lives. But perspective is everything, isn't it? Perspective is everything. On Friday morning, the Woodlands Group of Churches senior leadership team, some of them are more senior than others. I'm not a very senior. Sorry, that's rude, isn't it? But we get together once a month, and it's always super encouraging to be around. I love it. It's so encouraging to be around leaders that are further on than me and much wiser than me and have a lot more influence and perspective than me. And on Friday morning, we shared stories about what is going on around our churches, around the Woodlands Group of Churches. And for the first 20 minutes, we were telling stories after stories after stories after stories. And it was so encouraging. Stories of people coming to faith. Stories of our churches having people, demographic in our churches that we never had before. Stories of young people coming back to faith who had gone away from Jesus. Stories of people in our churches that we would think they're so far away from Jesus, they would never be interested in coming to know him. But actually, funny enough, they are. And time after time after time, story after story after story, it was so encouraging. And somebody in the meeting said, it feels like harvest time, doesn't it? It feels like there's a harvest, and it's time to reap it. And I want to say to you today that it's true. It's true. We are in a harvest time. And you might not feel like you are. It might feel like it's not harvest time. It might feel like it's famine time. But you know, for Jesus, it's harvest time. For me, I was really encouraged this week because we've been having this thing, part of Woody's, is 21 days of prayer where some of us, not many of us, but some of us have set our alarm clocks to go off at 2 minutes past 11 in the morning. And then when that alarm clock goes off, it reminds us to pray for those people that we would long to see Jesus meet them. We'd long to have opportunities to share our faith with. And this week, I've been praying for this person quite a long time. And this last few weeks, I've been praying for them at 2 minutes past 11 every day. It's four people that are on my little list, and this person is one of them. And this week, they came up to me and said, oh, can you please book me onto the Alpha course? Yes! And I didn't do that, because that would be highly inappropriate and just pretty immature, to be honest. But inside, I was like, God, that is amazing. I haven't even invited them to come on the Alpha course, but they have just felt through a series of circumstances that they wanted to come. Now, that is an answer to prayer, isn't it? That is an answer to prayer. That's a direct correlation of my prayer, God doing his stuff, Jesus working behind the scenes, and I'm getting to join him. When Pete Greg was here, as Alan mentioned, he talked about the position that he has of going around the country, of going around the world, of seeing, he describes it like the tide rising. You know, like when the water comes in the harbour, the boats start to rise and jiggle. And he says it feels like that, that there's a tide rising in our country. And it's a tide that has been built on prayer, has been built on the faith of those that have gone before us, and has built on people speaking about Jesus and having confidence in who he is. And the same confidence that we had 10 minutes ago, quarter of an hour ago, when we were worshipping in abandon, the confidence to be able to take the message of who he is outside the door of the church and speak to those about those we meet about him. And it was so encouraging to hear him say that, to see that he is seeing a shift in our nation. And he mentioned actually a survey that the Times had done last year, which, you know, a secular newspaper, they've got no interest necessarily in cooking the books, but said that, statistically speaking, atheism is decreasing in our nation and church attendance in our cities is increasing. Now, that is an amazing thing in our time, isn't it? Where we feel the UK is very secular, culture is very secular. We wouldn't necessarily feel very, like this is a Christian country, no one says that anymore. But something is happening, the tide is rising. We need to shift our perspective and get the perspective that Jesus is casting us and telling us and inviting us into, that there's a harvest and we are the harvesters. So that's my second point, actually. We want Woody's people to consider themselves as a worker in the harvest field. I wonder if you do feel like a worker in the harvest. I don't know whether you do, whether I do sometimes. But Jesus says the problem with reaping the harvest is not a harvest problem, it's a worker problem. The fact that there's not a harvest, that we don't see a harvest when we want to, is not the fact that the harvest isn't there, it's the fact that there's not enough workers out in the harvest, doing the harvesting, doing the job, putting their sort of their shoulder to the plough and getting on out there. The message puts it like this: what a huge harvest, and how few harvest hands there are. Jesus is declaring that the harvest is plentiful. It's out there. It's ripe. It's ready. There are people that are wanting to hear about hope, about Jesus, where their lives are shattered and broken, and they're wondering, like April said, you know, is this my life just about 9 to 5 and spending my money on clothes at the weekend or spending my money in the club and the pub? Not that that's obviously wrong, but is that all that we're about? No, we all have the fingerprints of God the Father all over us. He's made us for a relationship with him through Jesus' death on the cross through his son. And like my farming friends at Harvest, it takes us all to be the workers to gather in the harvest. Do you consider yourself to be a worker? Or are you a watcher? And actually, if you are here as a watcher, a searcher, someone that's trying to explore faith and work out whether it's real or not, actually, we're really glad you're here, and we're so glad you're here, actually. We want Woody's to be a place where we really seek God and we worship with all our hearts and minds, but we want people who are trying to explore faith to be here as well. Because being amongst us will prove if we're authentic. It will show whether actually what we say really matches up with how we act. And so you're so welcome to be amongst us as we grapple with some of these things. And I hope that you feel able to sort of be amongst us as we talk about these sorts of things. I think I was reflecting on my own life and thinking, what stops me from being a worker in the harvest? What are some of the issues that I have grappled with over my life that have made me reticent to share my faith at times? And these are just some of the things, and I wonder if you can identify with some of these things. Maybe we don't embrace the fact that we're workers in the harvest because we don't sense the urgency of the moment. We are distracted with our own lives and our own issues, and you know, a lot of us have busy lives and there's so much going on, and like, harvest? Oh, actually, no, that's for the evangelist to do. That's for people who really like getting out there. Maybe we're just a bit apathetic. I have felt a bit apathetic at times. I felt a bit like, oh, does it really make a difference praying for my neighbours? Does it really make a difference trying to sort of share my faith to people. Can God use me to do that, my little measly efforts? Maybe you feel ill-equipped. So you want to be able to share your faith. You want to be able to talk about Jesus to people, but you just think, gosh, where do I start? How do I not be weird? Because we just, you know, weird Christians, it's just, no, don't do it. Maybe we feel embarrassed. I never forget the time when I was in a group of women. We were talking about different stuff, and the conversation got onto sex. And I hope it's okay to say this. We were talking about sex, and we were talking about, you know, when women get together, the conversation can get pretty raw. And and all the people in my little group of women, none of them are Christians apart from me. And they were talking about how many sexual partners they'd had and all that sort of stuff. And then I just sort of was sitting there, I could feel myself getting a little bit hot under the collar and a little bit pink. And I was thinking, I've got to say something here. And I said, actually, you know, I was a virgin when I got married. And because I'm a Christian, I know it's not easy and I don't want to make anyone feel bad, but I just wanted to live like that because my relationship with God, you know, called that out of me. And it was a tumbleweed moment. It was awkward silence. I was expecting them to fall to their knees and say, what must I do to follow Jesus? But it really wasn't like that. It was like shifting uncomfortably in the seat. And I was like, oh, Jesus, please come back now. But the reality is, sometimes sharing our faith is really awkward and embarrassing. And, you know, we can get it wrong, we can get it right, but actually it can still be awkward and embarrassing. But are we prepared to be embarrassed for Jesus? A bit like what Nigel was saying in worship last week. Are we prepared to be a fool to worship God? And I think sometimes when it comes down to it, our inhibitions, our fears, our kind of don't want to be embarrassed and look not very cool in front of people. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, obviously, I'm the epitome of cool. But, you know, now I don't care if I look uncool because I'm the age that I think, well, it doesn't really matter. But if I'd only learned that like 20 years earlier, my faith sharing would have been much better. Anyway, moving on. If Jesus is right and the harvest is ready and the harvest is ripe, it's going to take everybody to get involved with it. It's going to take everyone to get involved. It's not just a few. It's not just the senior leadership team of Woodlands Church. It's not just people who are really eloquent and able to preach the gospel and answer every difficult question under the sun. It's going to take us all to get involved. It's going to take us all to step up and say, actually, yeah, God, use me in my university, in my school, in my street, in my community. We have this saying here at Woody's, everyone's a minister. We go on about it because we don't just think it's a slogan, we believe it's true. That we're all ministers, we're all called to get involved, to be a labourer, to be a worker in the harvest. Thirdly, I want to just mention that I think it's really key that we grasp that we have been sent out by Jesus. That we are all invited in and then sent out again. And so consider yourself sent by Jesus into the harvest. Consider yourself sent. A few verses later in the passage, Jesus says, you know, these aren't encouraging words. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, my farming friends would have told me that those two animals don't mix. Lambs and wolves do not mix. They don't get on very well. And sometimes we will find that sharing faith is really difficult because there is a spiritual dynamic at work in the world, which means that the enemy is real and Satan hates Jesus and Satan hates us sharing Jesus with people and Satan hates anything to do with Jesus. He hates it when people become followers of Jesus. And so there's a spiritual dynamic that is at work, and if he can make us feel embarrassed about our faith, if he can make us feel inadequate, if he can make us think, actually, what can I do? I don't matter. No one's going to listen to me. He is loving it. He is loving that. He wants to disempower us. He wants to say, yeah, you can't do that. You're a rubbish Christian. you can't tell anyone about Jesus. Look at your life. If you ever think that, if you've ever had those thoughts flit across your mind, it's not Jesus saying that to you. It's the enemy trying to disempower you, trying to throw you off track. But verse 17 of chapter 10 gives us such a brilliant glimpse of what happens to these 72. They go out, and I bet they were frightened. I bet they were just like us, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, don't we know what I'm doing? But I'm going to go anyway because Jesus said we should, and it'd be really embarrassing if I don't go. He'll know, won't he, because he's Jesus. Oh, they went out, and they go out, they do their faith sharing, and then they come back, and it says this. They returned with joy. They returned with joy and discovered that even the demons submitted to the name of Jesus. They returned with joy and discovered that even the demons submitted to the name of Jesus. They realized what Jesus already knew when he sent them out, that there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is amazing joy when you go share your faith, when you go tell it your story of what Jesus has done, when you go and pray for somebody, when they say, oh, I'm really struggling with life at the moment, and you just tend to say, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe God loves you, can I pray for you? And they might say, yes. Anyway, when you do that, there's great joy to be had in that, for them and for you. There's great joy to be had when we share our faith. One of the things that has brought me great joy in the last 2 years has been meeting my friend Mel, and some of you will know this story, but I'm going to tell it again because I just felt like, as I was thinking about it again, it really encouraged me. And 2.5 years ago, I was recovering from really major surgery, and I was very low and just feeling pretty rubbish. And then I got an infection in one of my wounds, and then had to go back into hospital. And as I was readmitted, I was crying quite a lot. And it wasn't a pretty sight. And I was on this ward, surrounded by loads of people. There wasn't any space. I was shoved in a corner. And anyway, I was just not happy. Martin was trying to do a really good job of, there, be fine. No, it won't. Anyway, I met this lovely nurse, and she took my details of who I was. I went to the questionnaire, and it transpired that I said, you know, I'm a Christian, because he asked, what's your religion? And I just said, I'm a Christian. And she was like, oh, that's so interesting. And we got into a conversation, and it turned out that she was my nurse. She was going to be looking after me for the next sort of 2 days as I was going back into surgery and come back out again. And I was at a low point. I wasn't really in hospital thinking, oh, I'm really looking for opportunities to share my faith and talk about Jesus. I wasn't. I was feeling pretty rubbish, very low. But unbeknown to me, God had engineered it that I met Mel, and she had been in a bit of a low place as well. And the day before, she had cried out to God and said, God, if you are real, you have got to do something and send me some sort of sign and show me that you're real. And then, ka-ching, I turn up. I'm hoping that was the sign. But obviously, I didn't feel like a sign. I felt like a wet weekend. But anyway, we got into conversation, and we became friends. And I got to share my faith with her a little bit, and she was very professional because she was obviously working, and she you know, had to keep to NHS rules of how to behave and with your patients and stuff, but I slipped her my email address because I thought, I can do that. And I said, look, if you're interested in finding out more, then come along to Woody's. I'm not going to be there for a few weeks, but I can find somebody else to meet you. And anyway, she started coming to Woody's. She came around for coffee. She did the Alpha course. She became a Christian. 2 years later, she's helping to run the Alpha course. We baptized her. And then I'm saying that in a kind of very matter-of-fact way. But do you know what? God is working behind the scenes in people's lives all the time. And that is not unusual. That is not unusual. That is happening all the time. But if we're not workers, if we're not going into our lives with our eyes open, prepared to speak about what is important to us, and prepared to take the opportunities that God gives us graciously, then we're not being a worker. And as I said, I didn't go into hospital thinking, well, I'm going to go and preach the gospel and drive out demons. I went into hospital feeling really rubbish. But because I want to be intentional about looking for opportunities to share Jesus with people, God took me up on that. Now, it's interesting that she actually is now helping to run Alpha because she came to Alpha. And I loved what April said about Alpha. And I can't not help myself to say, if you're here and you are exploring faith, or you're not even exploring faith, but you're just here and you're not a Christian, you're not even sure why you're here, please come to Alpha on Wednesday. Give it a go. You might not like it. That's absolutely fine. You can leave and never come back. But God loves you. And he's trying to get through. And he really wants to reveal himself to you. And, you know, Alpha's just a tool. We don't worship Alpha. But Jesus uses Alpha to reveal himself. So I'd love to invite you to come this Wednesday night. As I finish, I want to land by stressing something really important. When Jesus sends us out into the harvest, he doesn't send us out ahead of him and he stays behind. Like in that Luke passage, that's what he did. He sent the 72 out ahead of him. They were to go ahead and prepare the way, and he was to follow on behind. But if we fast forward to the end of the Gospels, to the end of Matthew, Jesus is there with his disciples, and he tells them to go. To go. But they're not to go on their own, because they're going to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you to the end of the age. So as you go into your week, into your university, into your school, into your hospital, into your workplace, into the council, into your street, back into your family, as you go, Jesus goes with you. He's not asking us to go anywhere where he isn't with us. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He desperately wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He knows we can't do it in our own strength. Look at us. I mean, no offense, but, you know. But with his help, with his power, with his authority, with his spiritual gifts, and our little bit of faith, he can transform our city and transform our communities and transform our world. All he wants is us to believe that there's a harvest, to be prepared to be a worker in the harvest, and to get stuck in and step up and go. And he wants to do that because he loves the world. And he loves every person in the world. We're not his favorites. He doesn't love us more than he loves everybody else. We're not his favorites. He loves the world. And it says in Scripture that he desires that none should perish. He desires that none should perish. And we're his plan. We're his plan A. Look at us. He believes we can do it with his help and with his Holy Spirit. So that's where I'm going to finish. But what I'd love to do as I conclude is pray. Pray for you and pray for me, actually. Because I really sense that there is a sort of a groundswell bubbling up of Jesus is calling us to be confident ministers of the gospel, people that can speak about him and tell our stories, people that look for opportunities and create bridges with people that can invite others into church and into Alpha, people who aren't embarrassed about their faith, aren't embarrassed about saying, yeah, I'm a Christian and I try to follow Jesus. He wants us to grow up into maturity and be a worker. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask if that's you and you're up for that, you're up for the challenge of what that might be, I'm going to ask you to come to the front in a minute. And I'm going to do that because I would love to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, primarily around being a witness. Because I think, I just really feel it's time, you know. The world, our city, needs to hear about the love of Jesus. And we're his plan to do that. And it has to come from inside out, isn't it? It's not like I've got to try really hard and just create opportunities and stand on street corners and preach. I mean, you might be called to do that. But most of us are just going to be going about our days speaking for him, showing people love and care, praying for people, telling our stories. And that's what he's calling us to do. So if you feel like a stirring about that and you think, actually, I want to get some prayer for that, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you to do it now. And if you're one of those people, come on down. And if you just think, actually, that's not where I'm at the moment, that's fine too. You can stay seated. But if you would love a bit of prayer, I'm just going to pray for you all together for that. Then please come join me. I'm going to be here too. I'm going to give a minute to do that. I'm just saying that I'm here too. I'm totally here too. Feel free to kind of push in a bit. I'm going to pray for us, and then April's going to sing a song, and it's a song which just basically talks about us being the people that can take the message of Jesus to the world. And she's going to kind of sing it over us all. But when she's sung it, after we've prayed, we're going to move on and Dave's going to kind of join in. But I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you that you believe in us to be your workers in the harvest. That you look at us and you're not disappointed in us. And you're not saying, actually, oh my gosh, I've made a mistake. You are saying yes. You have called us to be your ministers, your people, your message carriers, your story carriers to our city. And God, we say, here we are, send us. Send us in our frailty, in our weakness, in our mistakes, in our vulnerabilities, but we want to be sent by you into this city. And we're saying we're prepared to go and speak of you. We're prepared to let go of embarrassment and disappointment and distraction and apathy and say, yeah, we want to be wholehearted for you. We want to be wholehearted with your message. And this week, God, we're asking you to give us opportunities, to give us your favor, to speak to those who don't know you, that we would be winsome, we would be gentle, we would be kind, we would be loving, but we would be confident. Your Holy Spirit would spill out of us and we would not be able to help speaking of you and your goodness and your mercy and your love and your welcome. And I pray for these guys and I pray for myself in that as well and say, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Turn us into confident ministers of you. Give us opportunities to speak of you, Jesus. Give us confidence. Give us your words to say when we're in tight spots. Give us your wisdom to answer difficult situations and difficult questions where we find ourselves at a loss to know what to say. We ask you, God, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Spirit of God. We welcome you, Spirit of God. Thank you for the picture of the early church. You said, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Then he will fill you. And you'll be my witnesses. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And we ask that even this week, this month, you would lead us to people who are hungry, who are lost, and who want to know you. Send us out in the power of your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.